Hi, and welcome to the Man Down podcast, the podcast where we talk all things men's mental health, masculinity, vulnerability, and everything in between. From guest interviews with inspirational individuals sharing their own vulnerabilities, through to the breakdown, where we break down different types of mental health support so that you can make the most educated and best informed decision possible to get help for yourself. As Matt Haig says, man up is not a call to strength, it's a demand of weakness. And the time for man up is over. This is Man Down. You're listening to the first ever episode of Man Down Presents The Breakdown. In this episode, I'm talking through my own journey with therapy and beyond. From where it all began, through to medication, therapy, and everything in between, as well as touching on where I'm at right now, so you can get a feel for what this journey's actually been like. I'm breaking it down so you don't have to. So I want to talk about therapy. And the reason for this is that while we've done an incredible job reducing the stigma around mental health and opening up the conversation, and as well reducing the stigma around therapy, you still get the odd person who thinks it's weird, who thinks that it means you're quote unquote mental, who thinks that it means that you're broken or that you're going to end up on a psychiatric ward. And I think in part this has a lot to do with our language around therapy. If we say that someone's in therapy, it sounds like they're in rehab. It sounds like we've sent them off to get fixed. And that's just not what therapy is. And that's why I wanted to do this episode as a starting point for this new mini-series of Man Down called The Breakdown. Because I want to not only give you the full information around the different types of support that are out there, but also allow people to understand and realize that therapy isn't about getting support when you need it. It doesn't have to be about reaching breaking point, reaching rock bottom before you finally ask for help. Therapy, and indeed any type of mental health support, as we're going to cover through this mini-series, The Breakdown, can be something that you use as a preventative, proactive measure to gain a greater understanding of yourself, your mind, and also importantly, what might have happened to you throughout your life that has informed your experience right now. All too often, we come to this question when we're suffering of what is wrong with me, when really we need to look at what happened to me. And therapy and any type of mental health support can be an incredible way to dig into this stuff and gain a deeper understanding of how you feel, but also why you feel that way. And I want to preface this entire episode by saying that being able to pay for therapy or pay for support of any kind is a privileged position to be in. But if you have the means, or even if you don't and you're able to get support in another way through public health services or however else, it will be one of the best investments you make. We spend a lot of money, some of us, on personal trainers, gyms, and materialistic things, but we're always hesitant and reticent to start spending money on our own mind, our brain, ourselves, and really look after our mental and emotional well-being. So with that said, I wanted to lead by example and talk a little bit about my own journey with my mental health, specifically looking at the support that I've got and the support that I've sought over the years. So to take it back all the way to the first time that I really even considered that I might have something going on with my mental health that I wasn't aware of was at the age of, I believe, 17. And 2 years after my parents' divorce, I was still struggling with really low mood and a lot of anxiety. And I remember going to the GP, getting taken to the GP, and within 5 minutes being prescribed and leaving with a prescription for some SSRIs, which, if you're not familiar with, are a type of antidepressant that stands for Selective Serotonin Uptake Inhibitor, I think. And I remember getting that prescription and being, A, quite shocked at just how quickly I'd been given the prescription, but also the fact that to me at that point in time where I didn't really have any understanding of mental health and the conversation around it, it felt like a confirmation or a diagnosis that there was something wrong with me. And I think that was my first experience of really being confronted quite strongly by my mental health. And I never ended up actually taking anything. And that for me, I think, was a really good decision, because from my own perspective, having taken antidepressants at points in my life, it's not something that I would have ever wanted to start taking at a young age, because there are so many other ways and so many different ways that you can get support that I think should come first. And again, this is me speaking from personal experiences, and I know that antidepressants can be incredibly helpful for some people, but for me, I don't view them as a long-term solution. They're a band-aid over a problem rather than a solution to the problem at the root. So from there, obviously having not actually taken those antidepressants, things didn't change. And I continued to struggle with my anxiety, my depression, into university, at which point I was in a relationship and really struggling with quite severe anxiety at this point, which then in turn made me depressed at how anxious I was and how much my anxiety was affecting me and affecting my relationship. And so I decided to try the university counseling service. And that really, again, was my first experience of any kind of mental health support. And I think for a number of reasons, that experience was not a good one. For whatever reason, I wasn't ready to accept help. I maybe didn't have a connection where I felt comfortable speaking about what I was going through with the person that I was having sessions with. And I think that's such an important thing, because at the time, that for me was confirmation that counseling didn't work. When I was in that negative headspace, that failed attempt to get help, the message that I heard loud and clear was that I couldn't be helped. And that's a really dangerous message to hear and to feel, is that you can't be helped, because you just end up accepting that that is who you are and things can't change. And that experience repeated itself in various forms over a number of years. The best part of 4 years, until I was 25 and again found myself struggling not only with my anxiety and depression, but also panic attacks. I was having near daily panic attacks that I'm sure if you've listened to the podcast before, you would have heard me talk about. And these became debilitating. They were affecting my work, affecting my life, and again, affecting the relationship that I was in and my relationship with myself. And this was the point I really hit rock bottom. I didn't want to help myself. I couldn't see a way through. And it was actually my mum who said that she was going to find me a therapist, that she was going to help me get support. And I don't think that at that point in time, I would have been able to get the help that I needed. And that's why I think while encouraging people to speak up and speak out is so key, we also have to be really aware that when you're in the lowest point, you may not want to help yourself. You may not feel like you can help yourself, but you also might not have the information to help yourself. And so I started seeing a therapist, and we worked together for about a year and a half. And that for me was the longest period of talking therapy and also CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, that I've had to date. And alongside that, I also took steps to use medication. So at first I tried what are called beta blockers, which are more of a bottom-up approach, looking at the physical symptoms and looking to address the physical symptoms of anxiety so that you don't find yourself being triggered or falling into anxious thoughts. Those didn't work for me. And again, this is personal preference and personal experience. So I moved again onto coming full circle, those SSRIs that I'd been prescribed when I was 17 years old. And I, to that point, since that first experience, had been quite anti-medication, quite anti-antidepressants. And I remember the first time I took an antidepressant, it took me a few days to get to that point where I was willing to take it. And I found myself crying after I did, because again, it felt internally like an admission that there was something wrong with me. And that felt weak to me at that point in time. But the way in which my therapist at the time described it to me when using SSRIs and antidepressants to help with severe anxiety is that the antidepressants lessen the severity of the symptoms in the short term so that you can get your head above water, so that you can start to address the triggers and talk through and rationalize consciously the experiences that you're having. And that combination of CBT and talking therapy alongside antidepressants was what really started to move me out of what I was going through. So that was, I suppose, my first successful experience with mental health support after the best part of 8 years of trying and not trying and trying again. And that's the thing with our mental health, is sometimes that first line of support might not be what's right for us. And that again is why I want to open up these episodes to help people understand the different types of support that are out there so we can find what works for us as individuals. And from there, I then discovered breathwork. And breathwork, again, if you know me or you've heard me speak, is something I'm now qualified to teach, but also something I'm extremely passionate about. And breathwork at a deeper level allows us to move through and heal emotional blockages and potentially even trauma that we've experienced that might be held in the body. And it was through breathwork that I was able to really connect into my inner emotional experience. And I had some incredible emotional releases, and also one specific experience that I always describe as feeling a sense of bliss and a sense of happiness that I hadn't felt in my life before. And feeling that emotion, that overwhelming happiness, actually confirmed to me and created a big shift in me, because I was able to understand that that happiness was possible. And it allowed me to really believe that I could be happy and that I could feel the highs as well as the lows, rather than this numbness that I'd been feeling for so long. And I'm going to go into breathwork in a lot more depth in its own episode, because I think it deserves its own time to be explained fully. But it also really nicely leads on to where I'm at today. So through all of this progress that I've made and this understanding and self-awareness that I've gained over the years of helping myself in therapy and really getting to know myself at a deep level, I'm still experiencing this acute, severe, anxious response when it comes to certain triggers within my relationship. And this is something that has been a feature of all of my relationships in the past, but for me, this is something that I now feel I understand, and that's where therapy has been so important, is I can understand where it comes from, but I still seem to be having the same intense reaction and response, and it is a highly visceral, full body, overwhelming shift in my being. I change almost to a different person, and I can see that in myself, and it frustrates me and it upsets me, and it's almost a kind of PTSD type response to certain triggers that comes up out of nowhere and just takes over. And as a result, I've been doing a lot of reading, a lot of research into trauma. And we're seeing now more and more a better understanding of trauma as a significant factor in our mental health in later life. There's a great book that's just come out from Dr. Bruce Perry, and also a book from Bessel van der Kolk, looking at trauma-informed therapy. And the book by Dr. Perry is called What Happened to You? And this is the question and the reframing that we need to look at when it comes to the conversation around mental health. The discussion isn't what's wrong with you, and that's a question I've asked myself time and time again with my anxiety. The question is, what happened to you? And there are specific support systems and methods of therapy that can help with trauma. Somatic therapies such as breathwork and other methods such as EMDR look at the role of the body. That brings me to something that I'm going to explain a little bit further called the talk therapy trap. Now, I'm no therapist, I'm no trauma expert, but my understanding is that for a very long time, we assumed that an experience, a potential trigger, comes in through the rational thinking part of our brain before it hits the animal brain and the amygdala. But that's actually not true. Any experience, any trigger goes through the amygdala first, and there will be a response, there will be a reaction before it reaches the rational thinking part of the brain. And that's why if you ever feel a strong trigger, a strong visceral reaction to something, it's very, very difficult to reason your way or talk your way out of it. And so with talk therapy, we can become very conscious, very understanding of what is going on in the process, but it doesn't mean we can react any differently. So right now, where I'm at in my own therapy journey, because I want to be fully open about this, is I'm about to start something called EMDR. So this is eye movement desensitization and reprogramming. And this is a style of trauma-focused therapy that uses the power of eye movement and also reprogramming to desensitize you to potential triggers that bring up strong reactions. So I'm hoping I'll be able to keep you guys updated with how that's going. And throughout the series of The Breakdown, we will be looking at EMDR specifically and speaking to an amazing EMDR therapist to find out a little bit more about what it's all about. So I wanted to share this with you just as a reminder that this isn't a linear, one-size-fits-all approach. This is something that is completely unique to you as an individual. And I'm hoping through The Breakdown, you'll get a better feel for what might work for you. And please remember that if something doesn't work for you the first time, not to call it quits and to keep trying and know that things will get better. If you made it this far, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the episode. If you are a fan of the podcast or enjoyed this episode, it would mean a huge amount to me if you could like, follow, subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever it is you get your podcasts. Stay tuned for the next incredible episode of Man Down, and I hope to see you soon.